Back in action for another episode of Small Business Dads. Daniel Monday with you again for another week. Thanks for giving us some of your time again. Cool little chat to share with you today with Christoph Kasmer. He's from ASE, they're an IT networking company, but more importantly, he's going to speak to us today and share some insights about cybersecurity. Pretty timely topic right now, given everyone's working from home and spending more time online and combining work and personal time and shopping online a lot more than we used to. So Christoph's going to give us some awesome insights. They're pretty simple, but something to make sure that you're aware of, especially as a business owner. Get straight into the chat because there's some great insights. I'm sure you'll get a lot out of it. Christoph, welcome to Small Business Dads. Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, Daniel. Appreciate it.
Well, mate, I'm keen to hear about your story, and we're introduced by a mutual contact, Bruno. So I appreciate the intro, Bruno, for another guest on Small Business Dads. It's been a good little source of information for us. But keen to hear about more, and you're obviously very timely for this little chat on cybersecurity and everything that we're going to go through today. But before we get into all of that, I'd love to find out about your backstory and tell us more about you.
Mate, fantastic. Thanks, Daniel. Look, from my perspective, a little bit of history about me. I've been a technical engineer for, I don't want to give it away, but over 30 years. And so being the IT industry, you certainly evolve over time. As part of that, you sort of seen the evolution of what technology is and how that enables people and how it makes a difference in people's lives, businesses, et cetera. And so for me, it was that evolution. It's going from being an engineer to actually being in solutions and then obviously being in business itself. So being able to support small businesses, medium businesses and enterprises. And as you said, right, it's timely right now in regards to what the challenges we're all facing, not only from being a working from home environment, but also from just a simple business perspective. So, I'm extremely grateful for the fact that I'm in an industry that is not, let's call it dwindling, it's actually increased in its volume. And that inspires me to both give back to support small businesses, because they're the ones that are really feeling the pinch, for lack of a better term, right now. And to make sure we're giving advice that's timely or efficient, and also offering services where we can to support them to make sure that we all come out of this challenge ahead and survive as best as we can.
Well, it's definitely, like you said, it's something that we all need to be aware of now. We're all spending all day at home on Zoom, and I guess a lot of people's internet connection may not be as secure as it would be in an office, especially if you're in a sensitive industry. But do you want to run in a bit more about that, and then we'll circle back to the family side of stuff down the track?
Yeah, sure. Oh, look, I mean, you're absolutely right, Daniel. So one of the things that we, are facing at the moment is this whole working from home challenge. And I can certainly appreciate, the concept that we're in an office, we're in a corporate environment. It's a lot easier to secure your devices. And so part of the things that we need to be mindful of is what we're doing on our laptops, right? Or desktops or PCs, et cetera. Because now we're at home, we're doing both business and personal activities on it. And, previously, for example, you'd go home, you'd do your shopping online, or possibly you'd actually more likely go to the shops itself. So being at the mall or whatever shopping you do, or you go to the retail sector, or you'd even go to Woolworths. A lot of us are actually ordering online. And the problem is that we're starting to use our personal activities as well as our business activities on the same device. And so we're sort of overlapping, let's say, what we're doing on one device, but also sharing that. So as an example, part of the reasons for us today having that discussion is a couple of top tips for people to be mindful of to make sure they're a bit more cyber aware and a bit more secure, not only for themselves, but the businesses they work for. So, as part of that, I thought I'd give you guys a couple of handy tips. They're only basic ones. I'm more than happy to share them with you. How's that sound?
Sounds great, mate. To keep it simple and then we're all happy.
That's the way I like it. But I'm sure everyone has probably heard the word multi-factor authentication. So I think the most important thing that I could suggest to everyone is try and turn it on. Now, timely in the fact that Facebook, for example, went down yesterday. I think we briefly touched on this. The world is currently living heavily on social media. We share our lives through social media. Or as I like to say, we're a Mazda at the moment because we're zooming all the time. So Multi-factor authentication is really important. And most platforms out there, be it, you know, business or personal, have them on there. So that what that means is you go into the settings, you can have a look. There's either MFA or 2FA. Just turn it on. Facebook, for example, means that they'll send you a text to your phone so that, you know, when you're logging in, you've got to put a second code in. Your banking online, especially, let's turn that on 100%. You know, that way, at least if someone's trying to do something, let's call it untowards to your banking, you get a notification of that immediately saying, hey, here's a code. And you can go, well, hold on, I'm not doing anything. So that's probably the first one. Second one is make sure you're separating your business from your personal. So if you are doing any online shopping, use a personal email account. And personally, I'd suggest setting up something completely independent. Go to something like Hotmail, Gmail, et cetera. Go set it up. So in your case, for example, danielsonlineshopping@gmail.com, create it. And then use a completely different password that you would use to anything else for that specifically, so that when you do get those text messages, I'm sure you're getting a lot of these, your order is now available, track it here.
Yep, exactly.
Right? And your emails, you get them all the time. And you'll actually know whether it's valid or not simply by the fact that it'll go via that email account, right? So if it's going to your business account, you kind of can get confused. And in this, you know, Daniel online shopping email account, that's where they'll go, not to your phone. So that means you can be a little bit more cyber aware about that. So you think before you click, right? So don't just click on it. The worst part is, you know, you can basically have cyber attacks as a service these days. They're becoming so prolific that they don't actually need you to do anything more now than click on that link to take access of certain data on your phone, your laptop, etc. So
it's pretty amazing, isn't it? And, like, you know, a lot of it seems like common sense to you and me, but it's so I was talking to someone, I think it was earlier this year, and she mentioned how she got caught out on a Netflix one. Like, you got a Netflix, you're not thinking, you're doing 100 things at once, and Netflix comes through and, okay, password, you know, didn't work or whatever. It's like, click here to reset, and then bang, next thing you know, she's been done. So, and yeah, and this isn't, you know, this is someone who's pretty smart and a professional woman, and it can be easy to do when you're not really thinking about it.
Oh, look, and totally. And the worst part about this, Daniel, is, you know, 1 in 3 businesses in Australia, for example, last year fell prey to a cyber attack. Now, it could be from, be it, you know, person or staff in the business, or it could have been just external. So you're absolutely right. And now more than ever, we need to be a bit more aware of it. Think before you click, right? And that's what I like to say. That's my biggest catchphrase at the moment is, if you see something, don't do it immediately. Give it a second, you know, think about what you're doing. You're right. And they're getting so, let's call it, they look almost realistic now.
Yeah.
You just don't think. You just go, great, cool. Oh, kids are probably on Netflix. Hell, they've done something to it. I better reset it for them. Yeah. Right. And so that's probably the third part that we're going in the tips is that education. It's thinking about it, right? And it's asking yourself that question or ask someone that you know, for example, right? You know, if something's sent to you via a text or an email, don't just click on it and go, hey, that seems real or that seems relevant. Take that moment to think about it, because most services don't text you to track. In actual fact, they'll send you a website, as in their own via an email saying, hey, track it here. For example, Australia Post is their app, and they'll send an email saying, here's your tracking code, go to our website and punch that in. You know, Aramex the same, Fast Track do the same. So I'm really mindful of people clicking on links. That's probably one of the things. So yeah, think before you click is the third tip.
I think they're all awesome. And it's all, like you said, it's all simple. And like, once again, it's not rocket science, but it is easy to get caught out. And I guess that there's a reason why, I don't know what the numbers are these days, but there's a stupid amount of money each year that these people take out of, you know, yours and my pockets.
Epic, to the point it's in the billions, Daniel, in Australia. Last year alone, right? It was over $1 billion worth of cybercrime in Australia. And it's scary to think one attack happens every 10 minutes in Australia. One attack every 10 minutes is reported. Now, I'm sure the numbers are probably higher. If you and I, for example, happen to do a personal attack, then we wouldn't report it to the cyber board in Australia. But yeah, businesses, for example, will, because it's in their interest to get the support from the government when they do.
Exactly. Now, there's one of the things that, I don't know, does it excite you, the times are in at the moment with this, as the opportunities that it has for someone like yourself, or is that a concern? Like, I don't know. How do you feel about it all?
Look, I mean, I'm inspired to support. So yeah. I'm definitely getting out there speaking a lot more. I'm being invited to a lot more podcasts to actually give people some small tips and ask.
Nice.
Feel free to hit me up on LinkedIn if you have questions around any of this stuff, because at the end of the day, that's what I'm really inspired to do, is to help and support people. It's challenging also though. So one of the biggest problems I'm feeling out there is people are scared to ask, right? And that to me presents a challenge in the fact that they are the less likely to actually get the support they need right now. So working from home, yeah, look, don't get me wrong. From a business perspective, they obviously escalated us to an extreme level. Businesses were transforming digitally with us 2.5 years ago, where we're trying to get them to be able to be working from anywhere, anytime, using cloud-based services.
Mm.
But having said that, that also creates its own challenges, risks, etc. So, it's inspiring to help people make sure that they're also aware, more cyber secure, but also definitely be able to work.
Well, so let's take a side back. We'll come back to the business side of things, because obviously, it's a lot for people to take in at the moment. I guess if they are, none of us have to be IT professionals to get your head around it, because like you said, it's all pretty simple stuff. But let's focus on the family side of things. Tell us more about your family and about why you get out of bed every day.
Absolutely. I've got a beautiful little girl. So she's 3, and obviously that itself presents challenge. I'm a single parent, so that can certainly add its challenges.
Teenagers.
Tell me about it. Oh, goodness. I don't know about you guys, but I'm certainly, she's a pocket rocket and loves to get out and about. And some of the biggest challenges at the moment is keeping a 3-year-old who wants to run everywhere busy. I'm extremely grateful that I have some space to run where I live, in the backyard, for example. And that certainly gives me some benefits. I'm really fortunate that my partner also has a teenager. So a 3-year-old and a teenager means that they can help each other and support each other. For me, the inspiration more every morning to get up is to make a difference, and being a part, being a family, being a man in the house helps for me to fill that sort of void that I have around those values of family. And that also makes a big difference, because I want to make sure that, the world that we're in is a better one for my daughter. That's really important to me. It's a very different world, Daniel, if you think about it, from when we were growing up, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You didn't have this idea of Facebook. We didn't have this idea of social media. I mean, the worst bullying we ever got was at school.
It switched off, wasn't it? So as soon as you walked out those doors, you were sweet until next time.
Oh, the worst you'd get is probably a phone call from your mate telling you that he'd fallen over and hurt himself. That's probably about as. And even then, you'd have your old lady pick up the phone halfway through the call going, "What are you doing on the phone right now?"
That is definitely. Look, I'm glad we. It would have been nice to have all the conveniences that the kids have got now, but I reckon we did all right. You got to run around outside, you got to ride your bike and do whatever, and you could, you go about by yourself, come home at 5 o'clock or whatever time you had to be in by, and you were sweet.
I don't know about you. I mean, my warning was when the streetlights came on, right? Yep. So you had to run home, because as soon as you saw that, you're like, oh, Christ,
time.
It's 5 or 6 o'clock, and you knew if you didn't run in the door, you'd be copying yourself about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't miss the belt, so I'm glad. My kids are probably glad that stuff's not around.
Yeah, look, I went to private education school. They used to use the same thing, right? So yeah, no, definitely appreciate that. But times are very different now than they were when we were growing up.
But look, let's focus back on you, Christoph. Now, obviously, you spend a lot of day online, with business, especially now because we're not in the office. But how do you get away from it? Like, I don't know. Like, do you sit in front of the good old Netflix, or do you like to get involved in a sport, or like, what do you like to do in the downtime to get away from it all?
Absolutely. My favorite is definitely having a show or two to just chill out at the end of the day. The biggest thing I try to do though is detach myself from the digital screen. It is the hardest thing to do right now. I mean, if you think about when we're working from home, the first thing we do is get up and go to the office, literally, because our laptop's our office,
right,
and
that's
2 or 3 steps away, right? And so the thing that we're missing in the society right now is the ability to commute, right? And so prime example is we used to have that half an hour where we could literally get in the car, turn up the tunes, listen to a podcast, do whatever it was. And so try to replicate that. So get up, for example, go for a run. Now we've got that ability to still go out do some exercise, and I try to do that. So I tune out and also get myself and my collected thoughts together at that point. So it could be planning my day through or going through what my high priority tasks are for the day at that point. So you don't actually feel like you're in front of work all the time.
Right.
And I try and make sure the screen goes down. I'm like, you know, it's 6:30. The laptop has to be shut. It really does. You've got to take that time.
Well, it's a common theme that I've noticed from talking to a lot of people is they need the downtime. And the exercise, I think, which I'm glad, you know, obviously I'm biased from a fitness background and hearing people say that they use that as their downtime. And like, to me, it's encouraging because you need that outlet. Otherwise, like, you know, like you said, we're going to be in front of that screen all day. And then you come home and you sit down in front of the TV again, and then it never ends until you go to bed. So I'm glad that a lot of people are taking it as an outlet. To me, that's encouraging.
Definitely. Oh, and the other one I like to say, Daniel, is, you know, I encourage my staff, for example, is to take your calls walking. Right.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
One of the worst things we find ourselves doing is literally sitting in front of the screen. Like, there is no reason for you to not have a meeting on a walking meeting, for example, right? So my team meetings in the morning, we do those with the collective engineering team. So it's, guys, get up, go for a walk, get on the call. No, we can definitely have that meeting all walking, all talking. So yeah, it's just getting out and about and not sitting stagnant all 8 to 10 hours every day, right?
Definitely. Now let's focus back. You can probably tell that we're jumping around a little bit, but I'd like to add I'd like to mix it up a little bit. Let's focus back on the business side of things. You've helped us out with a lot of tips for some cybersecurity stuff that we can do. But tell us more about what you guys do.
Yeah, sure. Look, I mean, as a technology provider, we've been around for 21 years. So you can certainly say we've seen the evolution, and every single 6 months, the industry and the technology industry changes, right? So what we focus on is getting the most out of people's technology, being optimized, being efficient. So we're not only consultative, but we're a data specialist. So part of what that means, Daniel, is getting the data from the right place at the right time for the best value. So there's a lot behind that. But if you think about it as a business, the most valuable asset we have is a data. And most of our data lives in systems that we don't necessarily think about. Some of them could be in online CRMs. For example, I'm sure people have all heard of Salesforce, and some of it could live in our sales pipeline, some of it could live in our ERP or financial systems. So we help businesses, obviously make the most of the data. And that could be by hosting it in specific, platforms, extracting it and then making sure that it's relevantly available, as well as being the standard technology provider, what we call a managed services provider. So that's multiple facets of being able to end user security around connecting users, around the support and backup, for example. So, as we were talking about cybersecurity, one of the key elements around that is making sure that there is a good data and backup strategy for everything that you do, because that data is more important now than it ever was before.
Yeah, definitely. Nice. Now, is there a business size that's appropriate for you guys? Or, is it the small sole trader type of business, or you normally, medium size? Like, what are the best sort of clients that you normally tend to work with?
Sure. Great question, Daniel. So, we've been supporting single sole businesses since the inception of the business 21 years ago. So we still do that and give back to the community by doing so. We also look after mid-enterprises. So we do quite a few by that I mean 500 plus seats. So we're certainly advantageous in being able to support both sides of the spectrum, SMB, all the way through to mid-enterprise.
Nice. Now, I noticed, I was looking at the website earlier with ASE, and it was a .com sort of era business when it kicked off back in the day.
Mm.
That would have been an interesting time to be. I know you weren't with the company then, but so I don't know whether you have any insights on that, but there's a lot of those businesses, all the counterparts, they all fell by the wayside during that boom in the early 2000s. So have you got any insights there from your time in the game?
Mate, absolutely. And it's interesting. I mean, I think it's one of those, if everyone remembers the Y2K bug, right? Yeah. And that was that era. That
the world was going to end.
Yeah. Yeah. Midnight 2000, it was going to be done, all kinds of things were going to happen. And as you eventually sort of realized, the dot-com boom, same thing, it all pitted down, right? And so the biggest thing I have found being in the industry is don't believe the hype, don't get caught up in it, right? And so from that perspective, the advantage that this business has is that they don't do that. We make technology simple. And you said to you earlier about the tech tips, they might be simple, but they're so efficient and they make the most difference, right? And so that's the reason why I enjoy what we do, making technology simple, making it efficient. And, that's be it in the Y2K bug. You know, I'm not sure if you saw an announcement, for example, like that September 30 was supposed to be the doomsday for so many apps and devices, which was never going to be the case. You know, the sensationalization, fantasies, et cetera, they're not real, and technology will continue. You know, there's always going to be the evolution. And so that's part of what I enjoy, because it's inspired by seeing it change. You know, it's not the same today as it was yesterday, and it won't be tomorrow. So definitely.
What are some of the best changes that you have seen over the last 20 odd years?
Look, if I was to say the smartphone would probably be the biggest one. I mean, the introduction of the iPhone, the technology that it came with wasn't radical. All it did, though, was open up a complete different marketplace. For me, it's an interesting statistic. If you think about it, 77% of what you do on your smartphone is not phone related. You do not it up to ring.
Oh, well, you said you don't call anyone anymore.
And my favorite saying, Daniel, is tell me what your partner's mobile number is off by heart. And no, and I don't say no, there are a number of people, and I say that with respect, that don't know. And I'm one of them, because you get so used to scrolling, contact, call, or favorites, right? So that was probably one of the biggest, let's call it revolutions, right? And then the next one that is always interesting is the evolution of technology to move towards, you know, what's data driven rather than application driven. And by that, I mean that people now have, so last 2 years, we have created more data in the last 2 years than we have ever before that. And that's the inception of things like social media, you know, online platforms, applications, for example. So if you think about it, how many times you've taken a photo over the weekend?
Yeah, you take 100 now. In the old days, you just have to go down and get it developed and hope that half the roll didn't have your finger over the lens.
And, you knew for a fact that if you gave it to your grandparents, you knew you'd have to retake the photos, right? Because when it did go down to the local, you know, print shop, you'd come back and there'd definitely be a finger in front of your father's face or something, right? So yeah, and that in itself, right? The evolution of digitization has certainly meant that, you know, we're more aware, we're more available, we're more online now than ever.
Let's put your crystal ball hat on, where can you see the industry going in the next few years? Like, some more people going to work from home as a result of COVID, and, you know, less people having, you know, actual physical offices, or which obviously will benefit you guys and cybersecurity and place an ever greater importance on that down the track. But where can you see it going?
Look, if we're completely honest, so human nature is that we're human creatures, and by that we need connection, right? So in the next 6 months, let's call Freedom Day, and I'll say that because obviously as New South Welshmen, that's something we're all looking forward to. Yep. We'll actually see us going back to customer service and people, right? And that is the first thing that's going to happen. We're all craving it right now. Yeah. And so the next 6 months are going to be crucial for customer service and people being back in offices, because you're going to see people want to do that. There's going to be a balanced lifestyle moving forward. Absolutely. I think we've all learned that we can do that. And employers, I think the biggest thing we've learned from this is, as employers, we don't need you to be in front of the screen in the office at 9 a.m. because we know that we can trust you to work from wherever you are. So that has definitely changed as a culture business. So totally. There'll be a more work-life balance in regards to that. So, you know, you'll see people doing 2 days here, 3 days there. There's going to be a resurgence in the cities, that's for sure. If you can imagine that, you know, we're seeing, you know, tumbleweed through the middle of the city at the moment. That busy, you know, sort of cultural epicenter is going to come back, because we're going to miss that. And that could just be, for example, is, you know, you'll go to the pub on a Friday just to get in front of your colleagues, your friends, etc.
Just because you can.
Exactly, right? Human nature is so long. Totally, and that's human nature, right? And that means that, you know, obviously it's going to be more adaptive. People are going to have to be more resilient, more adaptive. So technology will enable that, and it has. But in the same light, it's that human interaction that's going to be so critical over the next 6 months. And then obviously that'll evolve and change over time. So you'll see a lot more of being able to do things anywhere, anytime. I think you'll definitely see that happening over the next 2 years. And that will bring a lot of, you know, a lot of changes in how people work and use technology.
Nice. I like to think that, you know, there's staying at home has its benefits, but the one thing I really realised that is how much you do miss that human interaction with people. Like, I miss just being able to have a bit of banter with my clients face to face. You know, like, Zoom's been great. It's helped us get through, but it's not the same.
No. No,
but and you do need to have that time where you can just like you can joke around with a group of you. It's not just a, you know, an artificial call where you're both on a screen.
And look, I mean, I'll tell you as an example, I can guarantee that people will be hanging to just go, hey, Daniel, do you want to go for a coffee? Yeah. And you won't even think twice anymore. It won't be one of those things, oh, look, yes, because yes. That's exactly where we're going. And you will see the human nature of that come back, right? So there's plenty of published articles about how we're going to change the whole working from home. Yes, absolutely. The world has changed. It's never going to be the same how we work from home. But human, we crave connection. We just do. And part of that means that we will have that immediate resurgence to try and get back to that because we missed it. I mean, it's been 4 months. We haven't been able to go to an office, right? And our Paul Melberny and friends have been, you know, 18 to 19.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and that will definitely change the way technology delivers upon that.
Well, you've answered pretty much my next question, which was what's the first thing you're looking forward to? And I think it's just going out and seeing people again. But so we'll skip that one, unless there's anything else you want to add that you're keen to cross off the list once the Freedom Day or whatever you want to call it happens.
No, look, and either that or being in front of a real football crowd, right, with a drink in hand, just being able to see and feel part of that energy, you know. The finals, the football finals were on the last few weekends. And it's just not the same being able to watch it or being in front of, you know, 80,000 packed crowds. It's a big difference. So
it's going to be interesting when that first live sport you get to go back to. It's going to be fun.
Tingles down the spine, my friend. Tingles down the spine.
Definitely. Mate, let's focus on the dad side of things again. Obviously, with a three-year-old, you've got a few insights under your belt over the last few years. Look, we're not telling other blokes what to do, but what... I guess what bit of 2 cents would you give to another bloke who might be, you know, looking for another insight from someone else on how they parent?
Look, one of the things, I mean, being in technology is the hardest thing, Daniel, is, you know, obviously getting away from digital. But I hate to liken this, but to a blue screen, to a child, it's like cocaine. It literally can become a drug, right? I know it's easy parenting to just put an iPad in front of your child and go, yes, that'll keep them quiet. My biggest learning being in technology is to get them away from it. So, you know, you take away that blue light in front of them and do physical activities. You know, I love colouring in with my daughter. I love to run at the park with her, et cetera, when possible. It's just taking away that digital asset where they literally crave it to the point where it becomes part of their mentality. So, yeah, and if it's one of the scariest parts for me as a parent looking forward is that technology will become more and more embedded. You know, you'll see smart devices get even more powerful, even smaller, even more available.
Well, they're using it at schools now, so it's already something that they, you know, they have to do as part of their education, I guess, in a lot of places. So it's, I guess, like, you know, like we had, I guess our parents probably had the same concerns with the amount of time we used to watch the cartoons or whatever with, you know, whatever Square show Rise. Was on in the afternoon or Skippy or whatever we're watching the A-Team back in the day, Knight Rider.
Oh, mate, I remember watching Astro Boy, and it's one of those things, right? I mean, all it took was a thunderstorm for the signal to be dead, and you'd be sitting there screaming, right? I mean,
right at the important part.
Yeah, yeah. But the problem is it's so available, right? Kids are now got to that point where the on-demand generation, as we call it, are getting too used to that. It's the impatience of being able to actually experience life as it really is, right? It's not, we can't just go, oh, I need that right now. Demand, it's in the cloud, get it down, right? And this is kind of, and that's what I've sort of, as a parent, I'm really mindful of, because the digital asset and the digital world means that you start thinking everything needs to be on demand. It's not, life isn't. So yeah, I'm really mindful of that with my daughter as well as just in life in general.
I guess it just comes back, you know, like you always say as the dad, it's just boundaries, isn't it? You're the one that's got to enforce them, and, you know, you use it as a purpose. So it has its time and place, but then, like you said, they get them outside, let them run around, especially coming into this time of year now, and make the most of it. There's so many things they can do outside.
Yep. Yeah. Look, it could be just as simple as getting a, you know, cricket bat, you know, whatever else. I mean, you could get a piece of wood for goodness sake and just, you know, kick a ball around or hit a ball around. It's just what it is, right? We just got to be a little bit more resourceful and try and get them away from the digital screens.
Nice. Well, mate, I'm conscious of the time and the insights you've given us. I've got one final question before we wrap up. And it's a bit of a hypothetical one. If you could go back and tell yourself, your younger self, some advice, what would you give young Christoph as he's coming up in the world? Any time at your point, like maybe there was a turning point for you or...
Do you know what the worst thing, and I probably will say this, Daniel, is we have lessened our patience more so because of the digital era. And one of the things I would have told myself as a kid was get away from the screen, literally. Mm. And hence why I'm so mindful, is that we literally will get messages on, you know, our phones. We'll get a message on LinkedIn, or we'll get a message on email. And that means your ability to concentrate actually over time deduces. And so the ability to focus is the one thing I have really had to concentrate on. And that means muting all of notifications when you're doing something, like now, right? Just give yourself that chance to focus. Block out time in your calendar where you literally don't look at your emails. Block out that time where you will take a walk. Block out the time to read a book as opposed to actually a screen. Yeah. So, yeah, that would probably be my biggest self-learning to the younger version of me.
And it can be hard, you know, as a business owner when you've got to run basically everything, you know, like you're responsible for things at the bottom line at the end of the day, but you do have to have that boundary. And once again, it comes back to boundaries, like we said earlier.
Yeah,
look, and if you've got to be mindful of yourselves.
If you don't, then you don't give yourself that 5 minutes to reset, right? And then you're running at 50 million miles an hour, you'll eventually fall over. And that's the hardest part. You've got to have a bit of self-care so that you can survive, so that you can be there for others to serve.
Awesome. Well, mate, I love the insights you've shared. I love the cybersecurity tips. Hopefully someone, and maybe if they're not doing some of those simple things that you mentioned earlier, go back and have another listen, but definitely implement that stuff because it might save you and just be mindful. I guess that's probably the final word. Mate, where can we find out more about ASE and about what you guys do?
Certainly, mate. www.aseit.com.au is our website. Hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm sure that'll be in the description for yourself, Daniel. So feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. And that's the best way to connect with us.
Perfect. Well, mate, appreciate the insights. All the best with it and good luck.
Thank you so much.
I've got the same age and like, it's a fun time, but sometimes they drive you to the drink.
This is so true. Thanks so much for having me, Daniel.
Cheers. Well, there you go. I hope you were able to take something out of that. Some great little insights. So thank you to Christoph for sharing those. And I encourage you to reach out if you're in the market for something like that to help with your business, to help with its security. Reach out to Christoph. Like he said, the LinkedIn connection details are in our show notes and on the website, smallbusinessdads.com.au. Or, of course, if you need to, on a larger story, need to speak about how they may be able to help you and your business moving forward, I'm sure he'll be a wealth of information and a perfect stop for you and for your business. You can find all these type of episodes anywhere you listen to your podcast or on smallbusinessdads.com.au, our website too. And with that in mind, we're coming to the end of season two of Small Business Dads, but I'm always happy if you know someone, maybe yourself, you want to lock in the time over the next couple of weeks to have a chat as we wrap it up in October. Be happy to chat. Daniel@dpmtransformation.com. Send me an email, reach out to me on LinkedIn. You'll find me Daniel Monday. And also too, please share this with your friends. It's a very important subject, this one right now. You might be able to help someone save themselves from being fleeced by those scammers. Until next time, Daniel Monday. Appreciate you listening again. Over and out.